You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
So there is an addiction in our country, and dare I say the world, that people are very worried about. And it might seem silly in the beginning, but there are investors, big money investors in Apple, who are urging them to come up with something on the phone that will help limit smartphone addiction. They're worried that in the long term, people get so addicted that it's going to actually collapse and knock down the value of Apple. And if they give you the ability to, like,
you think
cut
so?
Down on the time where you're not so focused on your phone, they said it's changing people. It's changing.
I don't disagree.
Right. It's changing the way people interact. Less, for example, right. Less quality interaction, that kind of thing. And they feel that in time, it'll turn around on Apple, where people will blame the phone and the phone maker. And they have $2 billion invested in Apple.
So what would happen? Are they afraid that people will become addicted and then sue Apple for the addiction? Is that what they're worried about? Like, I don't get
right, because it's going to get worse than where it is now. It's going to keep progressing and growing. They say half of teens already admit they're addicted to their phones. And that's not even close. It's more.
Yeah.
People sleep with them. That's the worst thing my daughters do, sleep with it either in their bed with them, right, or if they fall asleep, like, don't turn your light out and sit there staring at this white screen for half an hour texting or before on Skype or whatever.
Right. I was worried because we got Isabella her first phone for Christmas. And I was worried about her, like, it becoming all-encompassing for her. She barely uses it.
Mm. Well, that's good.
She can't take it to school.
Yeah.
She comes home. She likes to cook, so she'll start cooking in the kitchen, whatever it is. Maybe for like a half hour, an hour before she goes to bed, she'll FaceTime with her girlfriends or whatever it is. Or get on a texting thing, but other than that, I'm shocked. I thank God, because
it's good because she's going to get there eventually. It happens.
It was definitely a concern.
Right. I wish they had a thing on the phone for not only kids, and that's what they're looking for, is something on the phones to limit how often kids go. Like, if your daughter's 14, and it's a whole different story.
Right, but how could you do that? How could you do that? People need their phones for business and everything else. So you can't.
But teens don't. Teens need them for what? Basically,
that's
BS.
True. Right, that's true.
So it would limit the amount of time, for example, that you're on Twitter, that you're on Skype, whatever it is, it would have a self-timer, and you would have to set the settings. I wish I had that for this. Turn my phone off and not let me go back to it for like 20 minutes. Of course, in an emergency situation, that's bad.
Right.
But if there was any way to limit.
I just love the way.
I love to limit it.
I love the way that nobody has to be responsible for their own actions. Everybody,
well, there is that.
Everybody,
it's true.
Everybody needs to be parented.
Yeah.
You know, now all of a sudden Apple has to parent its consumers. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Well, the investors are doing it purely out of they want to continue to make money. They want to turn around on Apple and become
right,
a negative
thing. Right, but I'm still confused. Like, what do they think is going to happen? Do they think people are going to stop buying iPhones because they're afraid of addiction? Never happened.
Well, they might be addicted, and they'll blame Apple for the addiction and that kind of stuff. And they're worried that it will knock down the stock. It'll be the whole image of Apple will crash.
And then any That's judge would be about. Like, you're an adult. Shut up. Get out of my courtroom.
Really?
But it's my
Have
child.
Have you seen the court cases?
You're a parent. You should have parented
like
the kid.
A man.
Right.
What's the matter with you?
Get out of the courtroom.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll see. I mean, these people seem to be thinking steps ahead.
Right.
To
no,
when
I
it gets
it.
Way worse than what
I
it is
it.
Now. But it's
well,
bad.
You
now.
Told me the story the other day that they are now considering video game addiction and actual. So,
like,
you know,
gambling and alcohol, same. The World Health Organization put it in the same category.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, that's
so
where the phone's going to go.
You got to throw your kid in rehab because he plays a little too much Call of Duty. You know? Nobody's responsible for their own actions anymore. It's insane.
It's 6:39, partly sunny and 38 today. Ted is out. Here's Chris.
Oh, what? I was looking at my phone.
Sorry.
Oh, so now the program director wants to bring comedy. Okay.
Your WVAP Browns Chief headquarters in Patchogue, Long Island. Traffic.
We were just talking about how there are some big billionaire investors worried about Apple's future reputation because of smartphone addiction becoming such a big thing, and they only see it getting way bigger. So years down the road, people could come back and right. it could hurt Apple's stock and image and that kind of thing when they blame when the maker of the evil smartphones.
When we were in that limo bus on our way for the manuary,
I noticed it too.
For the manuary trip into the Barclays Center, there was one point where I looked at, and listen, I was as guilty as anybody.
Me too. Yeah.
But I was trying to handle some stuff at home, and there was one point I looked down. If there were 15 people in that thing. Mm-hmm. 12 of them were staring down at their phones.
Yep. That happened, especially on the way home when everybody spent the whole day together.
Yeah.
You notice everybody on their phones. I looked around like, wow, it's a busload of guys and everybody's looking at their phone.
Yeah.
You know, but that's where it's somewhat of an addiction. Everybody has a little bit of it. You feel weird without your phone.
Because it's like,
everything's there.
Yeah, we'll take this.
It is. Yeah. Hey, BAB, what's going on?
Hey, they have a thing for the phones. I have it for my kid's phone. It's called Screen Time. And we lock his phone. Like, it'll only work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, so it's an app you put on it?
Yeah. My wife downloaded it to his phone from our phone, and we monitor where he is and what time he's on it, how long he's on it, what websites he's on.
So he can't be on at school.
Right.
That's awesome. You control the hours. That's great.
He takes it up to bed, which he has sometimes. All of a sudden, we found him on at 11 o'clock at night. We're like, all right, that's it. You know, we're locking it.
Now it turns off at 9 o'clock at night or something like that.
Yeah, it locks him right out.
Perfect. That's awesome. It's called Screen Time. That's great.
Thanks, man.
Good stuff.
Yep, no problem. Thanks.
Didn't you have something that on your kids' computers?
I did. I don't remember what it was called a long time ago. But hours of operation on the girls' computers.
I kind of feel like it was had the same name as a Judas Priest song. It was...
You got another thing coming?
No.
The Ripper?
No. Oh, Jesus.
It was that well-known computer limiting app called... Metal Gods.
Right. Not ram it down. We can go on and on if you want to. Diamonds and Rust.
Yeah, but it worked for a little while, and then they got older, you know, when they had their first computer, and they were 10 and 19 in 2004, whatever it was, you know. We definitely put a little limit on it, and then it let me know as soon as they searched anything that might have been bad or any words came up in chat that were bad with friends on AOL Messenger.
Was it Hellion?
No, I don't remember. 646. We're trying to limit your kid's smartphone addiction. It's a big thing.
This is going to drive me nuts. Nuts.
So the smartphone addiction is worrying even like billionaire investors about how people are just so addicted to their phones, they think eventually it'll come around and bite Apple right in the butt because everybody will start blaming Apple, the maker of what will become in people's minds the evil smartphone that's got them so addicted to it like crack type thing that it's gone so far. And we've heard about, you know, from that last guy about how you can limit phones with certain apps. You can limit the times they're used, especially for kids. That's a good idea. We have a guy on the line. You're not taking responsibility for this. You blame the smartphone? Go ahead.
I fully blame Facebook for my divorce. I mean, my ex-wife was on the phone from the time she got home till the time we went to bed.
Really?
To the point that my four-year-old son would come up to her and go, Mommy, how come you're on the phone constantly?
So your four-year-old notices, and then what, did your wife find another relationship through Facebook?
Yeah, you know, it was a very unfortunate set of circumstances. When we started going out and we started seeing each other and stuff, you know, we'd go out and do things.
Yeah.
You know, she was very into arts and culture and stuff.
Right. And you'd actually talk to each other and have conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I got her first smartphone.
Idiot. That one smartphone didn't only cost you the cost of the phone, but half your stuff.
It cost me a lot more than half my stuff.
Hey, Jim, thanks for the call.
Later, brother.
Take it easy, buddy.
Bye-bye.
So, I mean, he blames, you know, the Facebook app. But people, I mean, they always have their faces on their phones.
We were on vacation for Christmas week, and I had to make a promise that I would not be on the phone checking work emails and stuff like that.
Right. And you said it was the best vacation you've had.
Most certainly was. It was the first time I ever went away and did not let work sneak into my vacation because there's totally always stuff going on here in the background that I'm dealing with at any given point.
Right.
And I finally was just like, you know what? I promised my kids. I promised Nicole. I said, okay. I said, I got to bring my phone with me.
Yeah.
I said, but I promise you I will not open any work emails because my mood will switch like that.
Yep.
And I'll go from relaxed to want to rip Buzzkill's throat out in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So I made that promise, and it was the best week off I had with my family, and I can't even begin to tell
you. Susan and I were in Savannah. We went for a long weekend, Savannah, Georgia, and we were actually standing in line, I think, to buy like fudge and stuff, whatever, right by down by the river. I mean, we were in a night, like a candy shop, and we're in line, and I'm idly, I just look at my phone, and I'm like, probably going through like emails, just, you know, just swiping through, not as intense as you do. And Susan looks at me, and she goes, really? We flew to Savannah, and you're looking at your, and we're standing here about to buy fudge, and you have to look at your phone. I'm like, you know, you're not wrong. You know, I don't think I'm addicted to it, but there's a certain need to look at stuff where you're like, oh, I wonder if I have a text. Oh, I wonder what's going on Twitter.
But let me ask you this. 10 years ago, you were on a train. Like now you go on a train and everybody's looking at their phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, everybody would be looking at the paper or a magazine or whatever it is.
Right.
It's just a way to kill the time.
True.
To kill downtime.
But
what happens is with this phone, you can do a million different things. It's not just read the paper. Okay, you're done reading the paper. You put it down.
You throw it in the trash.
Throw it in the trash.
Right.
The phone thing is like, okay, I have this news. I have that news. I have real news. I have fake news.
Right.
I have Twitter, Facebook, text messages, the whole spiel.
Right. And when you're with your family or I'm with my wife, it's the same idea. You're not reading the paper in line at the candy store or reading the paper on the beach. Your phone, though, is there all the time.
Right.
You know, you never throw it away.
I put headphones on. I got my music on the phone. While I got the music on the phone, I can check all this other stuff. It's called multitasking.
There it is.
But I'm telling you, man, if you get a chance, just put that bitch away.
Try a cold turkey.
Put it away. And it was, I had it with me, but not checking work. Yeah. My problem is bringing work home.
Right.
That's
a lot of people's problem.
Hates me for that stuff.
You were just talking about the old smartphone addiction and how no matter what, if you own a phone, it takes over a certain amount of your life. East End Jeremy's on the line who has a job like ours that, you know, the phone gets intertwined with your life and it's just, you kind of get used to it, but then you can also piss people off, as JP was talking about earlier, and it takes over a little bit. East End, what do you got? Go ahead.
So what do you do if you're in the service industry like me? I cannot put my phone down. And my wife, you know, she hates it, but I tell her, without this phone, there's no money for the honey.
Right, but you know what?
That's
if the phone is on, but you're not staring at it and going through different apps on your phone or whatever it is, that's one thing.
Right.
My problem is, like, I'll have time with Nicole and the kids, and I'll have my phone in the hand, and I'm checking work email, and what happens is my mood changes.
That's
while we were away, I didn't, and I had the best week off I've had, and I can't tell you how long.
That's great, man. That was cool to hear. That's something I'm looking forward to doing too, is like taking a vacation and literally leaving the phone. I'm pretty good at it when I go on vacation because the wife is, you know, and I know.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to me, the phone, the power of that phone and what it can do. I mean, it is just all-encompassing. Can you just imagine a world without it? I'm just like, how do we even get things done without a cell phone?
I wouldn't use it nearly as much if it wasn't for this job.
Oh, yeah, my job. Yeah, but my phone rings 24/7 with service, and I have to freaking answer it by the second ring.
Well, if you would get your jobs right the first time, you wouldn't have to worry about it. Just saying.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Later, Jeremy.
Something else.
Love you.
All right, there's East End Jeremy. And thanks to everybody listening on 95.3 FM on East End.
He actually is really good at what he does.
Talking about the smartphones and how everybody has one in their pocket and it becomes a part of your life. It's kind of annoying. But there are guys who, you know, reject it and don't like it at all. We got one of those on the line. Good morning, B.A.B. What's going on?
Oh, B.A.B. Listen, back in the day before beepers, if you were a truck driver and you were driving and somebody died at home, what would you do? Nothing. You didn't know until you got home or you called the house from a
payphone at a truck stop. Yeah.
Oh yeah, a payphone. Maybe some of the youngsters should download a picture and see what a payphone looks like.
Right.
I tell my wife I'm a dinosaur, and when all this technology goes down, I'm going to rule the earth again.
That's awesome.
That's it. All right, you guys, peace out.
All right. See that? Look at that. Even when he calls in on his whatever he's got, maybe he's got a flip phone or a burner phone or something. He calls in, he's done. That's it. 30 seconds. Gotta go. Love it.
Burner phones.
There's a guy who's not worrying about
I love when Raj
what's
talk,
on the smartphone.
When Raj talks gangster.
Oh, yeah.
He's got his burner phone.
I talk drug. All right, we have Keith hanging on the line. One more phone call about the smartphone addiction stuff, which, I mean, it's all part of our lives. We're all tethered to
it.
And, you know, we've been talking about we're trying to, like, break from it even just for a little bit each day or a week at a time.
You brought it up yesterday, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier about the video game addiction now being classified by the World Health Organization as, you know, something where you can read treatment for. Like, so if a kid's got an opioid addiction, he's got to go rehab. Alcohol addiction's got to go to rehab. Now, if you have video game addiction, you know, services,
they put it in the same class.
You get services for it.
Yeah.
How long? How long until this thing in your hand is going to qualify for the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely right. I think we're already there. Just people, they don't talk about it yet because everybody has a smartphone and is attached to it too much. That's part of it. Keith is online. No, you know, it's been going on a long time, I guess you're saying, huh?
Hey, it's not the phone, it's people. Remember years ago, you had the telephone chat lines, 550-GAB, and you had CB radios, internet chat rooms. What's going to do with it? People don't just want to chat with other people. They just don't want to do it face-to-face.
I mean, that's not a bad point. There have been a lot of things in the past that could you could get addicted to.
If you wanted
or you
to
could, you know, use too much.
If you wanted to talk to DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, 1-900-909-JEFF.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
JP's favorite.
That's it.
Hey, thanks. Good points.
Later, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's been things in the past, but, you know, it wasn't everybody who used the 976 numbers for the weather or for, you know, a sex phone or whatever. It was some people. But this is the phone, this smartphone is everybody.
I remember getting caught doing that as a kid. It was the worst.
That's how it went.
My parents cornered me in the kitchen. And my like the phone bill was like $236 or something crazy like that. And I guess my father...
Only 99 cents a minute.
He's like, what are you doing? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, are you dialing those porno lines or whatever it was? I go, no. He goes, I got a $236 phone bill that says you have. I just thought it was funny, Dad. My mom's in the room. My dad's there. I'm thinking to myself, like, later on, like, as I'm older, I'm like, he couldn't have pulled me aside on that one.
Right.
He had to do that in front of my mother. Like, what happened? There's no bro code.
Pull you aside, cut it out, and now give me $236.
Right, whatever.
I won't tell your mother.
Yeah.
In front of you.
Fine. Now my mom knows I'm a pervert. Dad knows I'm a pervert.
God
knows
you paid money to be a pervert.
God knows how many people he told that I was a pervert.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.